Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, we're talking with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, you can still email your questions for the mayor to ask. That's ASK at WBAA.org, and we have the mayor on the line. Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So you released a statement last week addressing a number of issues, so I wanted to talk through that today.
Okay.
And I will read how you began the statement. You wrote, "The past few weeks have been a difficult time in our nation and have exposed the need for self-reflection in individuals and communities. I have been asked repeatedly, and rightfully so, about my views on the issues of racial equality, police reform, and their significance in our own community." And then at the end of this, you have a list of initiatives you say you're planning to undertake, and we will go through all of those. I did want to touch on two other things you mentioned before we do that. First, you said you have the utmost confidence in the Crawfordsville Police Department. So can you address that for a second? You know, can you talk about that confidence?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the department is made up of highly trained individuals who care tremendously for this community. And we see that displayed every day. You know, they're out there protecting this community day and night. And, you know, the point I was trying to make was that I have the utmost confidence in them. But it has become apparent to me through these conversations that not everybody in the community shares equal confidence in the system that we have in place. So we need to take some steps to go through and allow those citizens a look inside, look at the policies, those kind of things, so that they share that confidence in the system that we have in place. But, you know, our police department is very good. They're highly professional, and I don't see any problems there. I just want to make sure that everybody shares equally in that confidence.
So you also wrote that you had spent considerable time listening to local citizens. You said, "I can't help but to be smacked by the reality that some members of the community don't have that full confidence." Can you talk a little bit about who you've been talking to and what those conversations have yielded?
Right. You know, there are several groups in the community who've been kind of looking at these issues, Humans United for Equality being one of those groups. You know, and they set up a series of meetings, and I've had a series of phone conversations, socially distanced face-to-face meetings, and Zoom-type meetings, you know, in which, you know, I gave them the platform as all of this was really rising to the top of the list around the country with everything that was going on, gave them the platform to, you know, you tell me what's going on in Crawfordsville, and, you know, because they had organized some peaceful protests, you know, there were some things being said, and I just wanted to hear them out. And, you know, those conversations were frank. They were challenging. They were difficult at times, but, you know, the things that are said need to be said. And, you know, like I said, in every one of those, put it all on the table. I want to hear it, you know, but it's a conversation. And I think that's the important thing. And a conversation goes both ways. So what I discovered was that there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and there's a lot of misconceptions based on that misinformation. And, you know, if we find problems, hey, we're going to deal with them. You know, I mean, that's been the point all along. So, you know, I specifically, a lot of those conversations were with people of color, and I wanted to hear about their perception and their experience in this community, because, you know, the reality is for many of them, their experience has been different than what mine has been.
And so what were they saying their experience has been?
You know, it's really a discussion about, you know, feeling that, I mean, obviously they're the minority in this community, and, you know, their perception of how they're being received by other people sometimes is different. But the part that really got me was, you know, hearing that Black parents feel the need to have a conversation with their children as they reach, you know, those teen years, and they're going to be out and maybe starting to drive and those kind of things, that they need to have a conversation with them how to properly conduct themselves during encounters with law enforcement. And, you know, I think we all kind of have that conversation, but this conversation was vastly different. You know, some of these parents were really, really fearful that, you know, any wrong move could be interpreted as an aggressive act. if there's an implicit bias there or not. And, that's something that never entered, excuse me, my consciousness. You know, as a parent, I've been through the normal, my children are becoming teens and learning to drive and all those kind of things. I've been through that, but never the side of this that, you need to make sure that you are really being extra careful when you have these encounters, if you have these encounters. So that for me really smacked of reality when, and the people telling me this are great members of our community who do wonderful things and I have a tremendous amount of respect for. So to hear them say that was kind of an awakening for me.
So in your statement, you outlined a number of initiatives. So I want to talk through those. The first thing you said, I'm immediately forming the mayor's special commission on racial equality. And it looks like this group, you say, will be comprised of a diverse cross-section of citizens from our community, will be charged with evaluating the current climate of equality in Crawfordsville and evaluating the Crawfordsville Police Department's current use of force policies. How are you recruiting people to this commission? What does this look like?
Well, where we've started is I created a list of people that came to my mind. I've been working with some representatives, people of color in the community, some representatives from the Malcolm X Institute at Wabash College. They came up with a list of names. We've kind of put those together. And since this piece has run in the newspapers, I've had quite a few people reaching out saying that they're interested. And now I feel like, at first we were kind of struggling, but now I feel like we really do have a good cross-section of people. And some of the people maybe who were kind of sitting on the sidelines before and not really getting involved, we have the Human Rights Commission. And we've struggled sometimes to get the right mix of people involved in that. Now I see them coming off the sidelines and saying, okay, here I am, I'll step in here and try to help out. So, we need a good cross-section of people there. And that's what we're putting together. So we have those names together right now. We're working through that list and really working to get meetings scheduled. And that's probably where I'm struggling the most because we could get started pretty soon. We're up against a couple of things. One, a lot of people take vacation. The last week of June, first week of July is logistically kind of tough. And then we're still in a pandemic. So face-to-face meetings become more challenging. And I feel very strongly, this is something that we need to get together, and I'm not a big fan of the Zoom type format, virtual format for something like this. I've done them, but I don't think they're near as good as getting people together. So we're going to have to work around social distancing and some of those parameters to get this up and running, but we've had some email traffic back and forth today, and we'll get it started here pretty soon. We just have to figure those things out.
And it says this group's recommendations will be reported directly to the mayor, city council, and police commissioners.
Right.
How many people do you envision being in this group? What's an effective number of people to have these conversations?
I'm not sure yet. we started out with, I think, a pretty small group in mind, and the interest has been pretty high. So, I don't really want to exclude people out of it. I think we may put the group together and then let them kind of create some subgroups that work on different issues, because there's plenty of things to look at and plenty of work to do. So I'm kind of leaning that way. We'll start with everyone who's interested. Let's pull them all together and the list that we've created, and then let's kind of sort it out from there and let them create their own hierarchy or their own subgroups within reason, obviously, to tackle some of these different tasks at hand.
The second initiative that you lay out, the city of Crawfordsville will undertake a thorough review of all Crawfordsville Police Department's use of force policies. I guess what members of city government will specifically be a part of that review?
Well, certainly the police department administration and our legal team will be part of that review. And then that will complement the review that's done by this citizen group as well. And of course, we have the police commissioners in place. We'll ask them to go back and review all these things. And the central question frequently has been, what do your use of force policies look like? I have confidence in our current use of force policies. They follow the force continuum, which the Supreme Court has laid out. Everything's in place. But again, we need to lay those out on the table so everybody can see them. And it will require some education because, when the average lay person looks at those, to understand what that means can be a challenge. we're going to lay that on the table. We're going to have all the experts there. Let's walk through these and make sure everybody understands these and is comfortable with these so that there is community buy-in in addition to the city buy-in. And that's really what we're after with that.
If it is determined that any changes need to be made or of any type along those policies, I guess what does that process look like? If you're opening it up for discussion,
right.
If the goal is let's really take a look at this and dig in, and the result of that is, okay, let's alter this, then right. What happens?
Well, it depends on what needs to be changed. I mean, if it's something with the city ordinance, then obviously the city council will take that up. But most of the time, these are policies. And in this case, it's set by the Board of Police Commissioners. So those recommendations would go back to them to say, you know, we think this should be changed, or you should look at this or consider this. You know, and if something's identified in there that needs to be changed, it'll certainly get looked at and they'll consider making changes there.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Right now, we're talking with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. The next point in your plan, Mayor Barton, the Crawfordsville Police Department's use of force policies will be made available to the public. So in what sense? Are we posting these online? Are we? How does that get out to people?
Well, we're not sure yet. I mean, okay. I'm committed to getting them out there. I envision they will probably end up online. And if you look at a lot of the larger cities in the U.S., those are available online. We just have that in review with our attorneys right now to make sure there's nothing special in Indiana that we need to think about. And ultimately, we don't want to put something out there that jeopardizes officer safety either. You know, if there's something in there that's tactically not something that you want to just put on the internet, we need to look at that. So the general use of force policy shouldn't be that way. So we're just kind of looking through to make sure those things are in place. And then, you know, unfortunately, in the end, it comes down to logistics and, you know, how do we get this on the website and online? I have to plug the IT people in to make all that happen as well. So we're committed to doing it. We've been asked, you know, to do that. And I think it's a reasonable request for the public to be able to go on and look at those. So we're gonna make that happen. I'm just not totally sure of the timing and what the format will be right now.
Your next point, I'm just going through all of these now. The current Board of Police Commissioners consists of 3 members. You write, this structure is defined by state statute from the time the board was created. However, we will investigate the ability within the statute to expand the board to 5 members, thus allowing for greater citizen involvement. Who would those additional members be? What are you thinking there?
Well, I don't know because, you know, again, this structure goes back, and this goes back decades from the time it was created. And Crawfordsville has what's called a Metropolitan Board of Police Commissioners, which is a little different than a true merit board of commissioners. It's a different structure. And like in our case, our fire department has a merit board because it was recently established in the last few years. The police department structure goes back, you know, like I said, decades ago. So we need to look and see, and the attorneys are working on this right now, how can we change that structure to best serve the citizens and the officers? And, you know, this was an interesting one because this is something that I heard from the community that they would like to see a little bit larger citizen board there to oversee this. But I also, you know, in the last few months, have heard it from officers as well, that they would have more comfort in 5 people there instead of 3. So I think this is universally accepted and a good idea. We just have to figure out legally what our options are. We could scrap the current system and go to a full merit. We could make adaptations to the current system and just bring it up to what we want. We're going to have to look at that, and the attorneys are working on that right now. So we should have some recommendations there in the next couple of months.
Your next initiative, all officers and public safety personnel will complete training designed to raise awareness of implicit bias. The Crawfordsville Police Department is exploring options for acquiring this training, and it will be completed in a timely manner. How is bias awareness addressed now within the department, and is it?
Well, you know, there's really not a formal program in place and other than what officers would get through their state mandated training and academy training. And you know, that's something that's been brought up in the conversations repeatedly. And I think it's absolutely a fair request. And we're just working through right now, really trying to figure out who we acquire that education training from, how do we deliver it, all those kind of things. And again, the tough part of all this is all happening during a pandemic. So, in-person instruction is different right now, and the academy was shut down, and now it's just starting to reopen a little bit. So there are challenges that we normally wouldn't have, but we're committed to making that training happen. I think that's a very fair request from the community, and we'll make it something that all of our officers and public safety personnel go through. That's a relatively, in the grand scheme of things, a relatively new educational concept for public safety personnel. So we're a little behind there, but we'll get caught up on it.
We're kind of circling back here a bit to the uncertainties of the timeline, given some of the uncertainties of the world right now. Just to take a beat for a moment, generally speaking, ideally, even given the constraints that you've mentioned, when would you like to see some of these things taken care of so that it isn't just,
Right. Well,
yeah.
yeah, no, that's fair. And we don't want this stuff just, and we put it out there and it just kind of hangs out. And I'm painfully aware that government sometimes moves very, very slowly. Although I remind the public that they've requested that, they're constantly asking government to, put all these checks and balances in place, and those take time. I think realistically, most of the things here will be done in 2020. We're almost to July now, so I don't see any reason that we, unless the pandemic reverses course on us and gets, we hit a surge and it gets worse. But I think it's realistic that most all these things. I mean, certainly, this commission I'm forming, they're going to start meeting next month. There's no doubt about that. We're working on dates right now, and their recommendations come out. But as far as the policy changes and the training and some of that, definitely by the end of this year.
Your next initiative, the Mayor's Commission on Racial Equality, Crawfordsville Human Rights Commission, and the Mayor's Office will host events for the community to express concerns and discuss suggestions for improving racial equality and confidence in our law enforcement system. And you add the special commission will determine the scheduling of these events while working around timelines for lifting pandemic restrictions and social distancing guidelines. What might these events look like?
Well, we've envisioned, different types of events, because not every type of event appeals to every citizen. But, just setting times where they'll be in certain parks, setting times where, they'll be available at different community events. We've really not done a good job, I don't think, in this community with allowing the public and our officers to interact. And part of that was that the Carville Police Department has a community policing program, which is great, but it's kind of just become isolated to just those officers engage the public in these kind of events. And we need to open that up. That needs to be broader. And what I heard from the public is we really don't know the officers. And I understand it's a little harder to have that confidence when you don't meet them and you don't know them. So we need to allow that interaction to take place so that people know these officers and get to know them and have more confidence in them. Know them by their first name. And I mean, they're in this community. They're awesome officers. They do a great job, but we've kind of kept them a little too much isolated, I think. Again, we're talking about doing this at a time where we're kind of keeping people apart. So it's a little bit challenging, but we're committed to having these events. And I'm not sure, I'm going to let that commission kind of drive that. You tell me what kinds of events and where you want to have them and when you want to have them, and we'll make it happen.
Your next point, the Crawfordsville Police Department will make officers available to engage the public in a series of community policing events designed to foster interaction and awareness between officers and the communities they serve. That sounds a little bit different than the general event
Right,
that you were just
right.
describing. What happens at a community policing event?
Again, very similar to the other events. The other events are a little more formal, where, we're going to engage in a dialogue and allow people to ask questions or, point out suggestions or whatever. The community policing events, which is probably what I was talking more about, just now, but that is more of a just an informal here. They're here. Come meet them, talk to them, get to know them. Let's have an exchange back and forth and build that relationship.
The final point, the Crawfordsville Police Department will take steps to ensure officers of diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds are more present at community events, ball games, etc., to build confidence that the department is reflective of our community. Can you talk about that a little bit, where that came from?
Yeah, that one's probably raised more eyebrows than anything. And you know, the criticism that I heard or the concern that I heard, and it's justifiable, is that, you know, if I'm the average person out there in the public, I don't see a lot of the officers. They're busy. They're not hiding. They're out taking calls, doing what they do. But, you know, if I go to ball games, it's a high school and things like that, you see the same officers all the time. You see their school resource officer, you see those people, you know. And as I was asked about the diversity of the department, and I'll say that, you know, if you look at the numbers in our community and the diversity of our community, the department accurately reflects that, and those numbers are a little bit higher in the department. But as I talked about having officers, you know, minority officers in the department, I get this blank look that we don't see those officers. We don't know that they even exist. And that's on us, because we've created a situation where those officers, all of our officers have not done a good job getting out there and interacting with the public, because we've created a system that kind of prohibits it and keeps it from happening. And they're busy, you know, they're busy. So I've just committed that we're going to make sure that all of our officers, not just officers, you know, minority officers, all of our officers are passing through these games, passing through these events, so that people can see that there are a multitude of different officers involved in our department. And we have to do a better job of that.
And on that particular point, you know, you mentioned buy-in earlier. Would you say you have buy-in from officers on something like that?
You know, I hope so. You know, I think there's probably some hesitation there. There's probably some reservation. It's something a little different than what we've been doing. And we certainly are not creating a situation where we're going to hold up certain officers and say, look, you know, here's an officer of a certain minority. That is not what we're after at all. We want them to see that there are, in this case, you know, all these different officers, and these officers come from all different kinds of backgrounds. There's somebody in that department that you can connect with on some level. And we want people to see that. And we've not really opened it up, because we've had a handful of officers, and they've done a great job, who've always been involved in these events, if you will, or out in the public. The others are out there working patrol, they're taking calls and that kind of stuff. We need to make sure we get the entire department out there meeting the public. And Crawfordsville Police Department, you know, did that. They were very good at that decades ago. And it's just something we've kind of drifted away from that we got to get back on track with. And it's not the fault of the officers. I'm not implying that in any way. I mean, they're doing, you know, as they've been directed. We just need to think about the policy and change it.
So looking over all of these things that we just listed and discussed, you know, I guess kind of my final question on all of that would be, what was the impetus behind that list? Who were the stakeholders that sat down with you and said, these are the things we need to address right now?
That list really came out of the concerns that I heard in every one of those conversations I had, you know, and I heard other concerns that I thought, well, you know, I could explain this, or that was a misunderstanding. We can figure this out. We're on the right track here. These are the concerns that I flushed out, that I thought, you know, these are valid points that we need to address to make sure everybody shares equally in their confidence in our system of law enforcement in this community. And that's where I came up with that list. Will that list be all inclusive? Probably not. You know, as we put this group together, they may flush out some other things that we need to think about, but this is certainly the starting point. And, you know, when all of this started to really rise to the surface nationally, there was a lot of pressure. You know, you need to come out and make a statement. You need to make a statement. You need to say something. And for me, it was a little different. I made the point over and over, I'm going to step back. I really want to look at this through the lens of Crawfordsville and understand what's happening here, and then make a real thoughtful statement with a plan of action. And I heard that in those conversations over and over. You know, if you look at communities or organizations that put out statements without really any plan of action. That didn't really carry much weight. I wanted to be able to put some teeth in here to say, okay, these are the issues, this is how I see it in our community, and here's what we're going to do to move forward. And that's what I tried to do here.
Okay, one more question on this, I promise. So what is the feedback that you have gotten since you've put this statement out? Are people satisfied with this list? Are they saying there are a few things still missing? I'm confused about this. Just generally, what are you hearing from people?
Overwhelmingly positive. In fact, I've not had any negative feedback, which is kind of surprising. And I'm not saying that everybody's happy with this. And, you know, when I put this together, I sent it out to a number of people in the community that I trust. You know, I said, I want your feedback, you know, people from different parts of the community, including law enforcement, including, you know, people of color, including a lot of people I've worked with. Give me your feedback. And we made some tweaks to the way it was worded in the beginning based on that feedback. But I said all along, I don't know that anyone's going to like everything I said, but everybody can identify with at least some of what I'm saying. And that's really been the reaction. It's been overwhelmingly positive, no real negative, a lot of silence. So that's probably where the negative is at. But I think everybody just appreciates the fact that we're looking at it through the lens of Crawfordsville, and we're putting realistic steps out there. You know, and we'll see where it goes from here. I think it has led to conversations that certainly needed to happen. And like I said, it's pulled some people off the sideline that we were having trouble getting off the sideline.
When you say a lot of silence, what do you mean by that?
You know, a lot of people who I normally hear from, you know, I mean, I get the emails and stuff saying that was great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Some other people that you would expect would say something have not said anything. And I think they're probably trying to absorb it and figure it out. And as I've told people in the conversations that I've had, you know, people are confused. I mean, they really are confused by some of this. I don't really recall meeting anybody in this community with evil in their heart and thinks poorly of other people, in, you know, racist or whatever. I just think there's confusion about the message. There's confusion about where we go from here and how we deal with what happened decades ago or you know, back further. People are very confused about that. And when you really sit down and have the conversations and say, you know, just put it on the table, you know, what are the misconceptions? What are you hearing? And this is what I'm hearing. You can start to work through those, but people don't do that. And I think they're frightened to do that. I mean, a lot of times they don't want to have those conversations because they don't want to inadvertently offend someone. And we need to have brutal, honest conversations.
Mayor, that is all our time for today. Thank you so much, as always. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Frankfort, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions for all four mayors to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.